Welcome to the Designing Hollywood podcast in association with the John Campia Show. I am your host, Robert Meyer Burnett. And this episode is sponsored by Paris Costumes. Today's guest is a veteran costume designer whose credits include blockbusters like Spider-Man No Way Home, Mission Impossible 3, superhero movie, and the fan favorite television show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Her most recent work has recently taken her to Italy, where she created costumes on the Netflix limited series from scratch. The costumes are chic, refined, and eclectic, representing the aspirational, elevated vibe enmeshed with traveling abroad. With a slate of projects in the States as well as Europe, she treats her work in costume design like a character study. No matter their origins or culture, she gets to know the fabric of a person, a process which is as intimate as the clothes we put on our back. She's passionate about collaboration on set and constantly works closely with the director, cinematographer, production designer, and makeup and hair design departments in order to craft an all-encompassing look. Her work continues to showcase the unique creative style she possesses and brings to each of her projects. Without further ado, it is my great pleasure to welcome costume designer Amanda Riley to the Designing Hollywood Show. Amanda, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored and very grateful to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. I have to say, you know, as everyone has heard me say a million times on this show, I go back and look at people's resumes and the fact that you've worked on many superhero projects, not just Spider-Man, but you've worked in both Marvel and DC. I'm like, I get frothy at the mouth when I hear all that. Like, you know, I'm a San Diego Comic-Con kid, so maybe I shouldn't have said frothy at the mouth. I just get excited. So it's great to have you here. But I also have to say, to start with, I recently finished From Scratch, and I thought it was a wonderful show. And I really thought that your work on that show, I mean, the costumes, I guess a word I would say is everybody, it felt very breezy to watch that show because I felt like I just wanted to walk around with all those people and feel the air. Traveling through the streets of Italy, it was fantastic, although sad. I was a little sad about that. I just want you to know, that show was deliciously melancholy for me because, you know, it's a tragic show, but beautiful.
Yes, I mean, you know, it is the story of a real woman's journey. It was a journey that happened to a real human. So. You know, this is the reality we live in. And I think to be able to showcase how beautiful life can be at some moments and how tragic life can be at some moments helped to refine and create.
Absolutely. Well, before we jump into that, I want you to take us back because I'm always curious about what was your journey into costume design? And was it something that you aspire to do? A lot of people come through fashion or they come through apprenticeships, but was costume design something that you had always aspired to get into?
My mother taught me and my sister how to sew when I was young. And so I had always thought kind of after high school, I decided not to go right into college. I wanted to travel and be a ski bunny and kind of all these things. And so I knew that I would always have something to do in the fashion world. So I went to FITM when I was ready to kind of grow up and be an adult in my early 20s. And after I finished my degree in fashion design, I kind of thought that it would be this opportunity to be designing these gowns and I would become this fashion designer. And it was not the case once I kind of understood the ins and outs of the fashion industry. And so I had some friends in LA in production and I discovered what costume design was as a job and I fell in love with it.
Now, so did you grow up in LA?
I grew up in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. I moved to LA to go to fashion school.
Oh, okay. But were you a movie fan growing up?
No. Well, not really. I mean, I always loved, like, if I think about some of my favorite influences of film as a child, being from the Midwest and growing up in the time that I did, I grew up with 16 Candles and Uncle Buck and Dirty Dancing and Pretty in Pink. I mean, just those kinds of movies really shaped, I believe, how I see so much of film and how much I really care so much about character. I actually just went back and watched National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And it's just, I mean, it's timeless. These characters, we can still relate to who they are. And that's what I love so much about being a costume designer and what I do.
It's funny, Marilyn's going to love that you brought that up, brought those films up. I remember watching Pretty in Pink, and James Spader, who's essentially the villain in that movie, like, he's going to high school wearing these linen jackets. And I remember seeing that film going, man, I wish I rocked some linen in high school, you know? I was not that kid. I was wearing polo shirts and Argyle sweaters. I was never that cool. But those films were so formative of that time. I mean, specifically the John Hughes films. Do we have anything like that today, do you think? Is there, because I feel that there's so many shows about youth, whether it's CW shows or movies, but I don't see much iconic fashion happening. Everything seems all kind of the same, or am I wrong?
Well, I think what I like about what so many of the beautiful, talented designers that are creating right now is so much of what we do can be pulled from so many different eras.
Right.
And so in my opinion, there's, you know, we can look back and be like, oh, we'll define this, you know, the 2020 era. But that's what's so great, because I feel like because we are in this era now, periods were so felt so much more defined, but now we're seeing with like the 90s coming back and the 80s coming back, we're using it all over the place, even when you're shopping in stores. And I find myself going back to, also from an ecological standpoint, but I love buying vintage because so much of it is timeless in essence, and it still works. Like, as I'm looking at, you know, Chevy Chase in this movie, National Lampoon's, it's like, he looks great. He's got a ball cap. It's just the whole thing. It all of it works. And you could use some of those pieces in a contemporary film from now, and it would still look great. It would still read.
You know, that's a great point to make. I mean, I should realize that in the sense that people today are drawing from all. I'm always surprised when I meet younger people, they're drawing from everything. They're not just, you know, okay, Taylor Swift has 10 of the top 10 songs on the top 10, but younger people are listening to music from all eras. There's nothing that necessarily defines our time anymore. So that's, I guess that would make your job as a costume designer easier, because you can draw from, like you said, the last 50 years and still make it all work. There's not like the 80s, thinking about the John Hughes stuff, a lot of those clothes were so 80s. Like, that's maybe why I like them, and I remember the linen and remember the Ferris Bueller leather jacket or something.
But yeah, even some of that, I think it would still work. And you're right. I mean, we are able to pull from so many different time periods and use so many different things that have already been created. And we're very lucky in that sense, for sure.
Well, you know, a lot of the designers I talk to talk about their rigorous academic background, and you actually went to FITM. And I'm wondering, did you also augment that with any kind of art history background, or were you a fan of things like that? Did you take traditional art courses as well?
No, I didn't. I mean, when I think about what inspires me and where I draw my inspiration from, and I've only gotten more into art as I've gotten older. And of course, now living in Paris, it's so easy to be able to have access to art. But starting out, most of my inspiration really came from what you had touched on, music, nature, all of the things from the past. So it wasn't so much studying art history in terms of fashion design or anything like that, but more music from the past that really helped to inform the things that helped me create and be inspired by.
Yeah, I mean and you've worked in Europe and you've worked domestically, so I would imagine all these influences they just build upon themselves and create that you never stop learning, I would imagine. You never stop seeing something new, especially being in Paris. I mean, that must be amazing. Walking down the street, well, that was the thing that struck me when I was there is just how fashionable a city. I mean, everybody, it doesn't matter who anybody is there, everybody has a sense of style and panache. And that was, I don't have that. So I would always admire it, want to see it,
That's
which.
actually a beautiful looking blazer on you. I do not agree, but I will say you're absolutely right. It's very incredible to be in, just drawing back to when I was in Italy, it's amazing to see how people dress up, and it's people from all ages. So you have, young men and women in their 20s, and then you have men and women in their 60s and 70s, and the same thing with Paris. And of course, now it's wintertime, and it becomes also this kind of timeless vehicle where people do dress up. It's like they wear the wool braids. People, when I'm there, I wear gloves and sometimes a little vintage fur stole, and always in boots. And it's such a, as a costume designer, it's so incredibly fun to be able to use all those pieces, especially after living for the last 20 years in LA, where it's like, some of the outfits I wear, I'm like, I don't think I would wear this out in LA. Maybe like if I was going to Disney Hall or something like that. But
Right.
just to have the opportunity to dress in that way is such an outlet.
So how did you make the transition? So you're at FITM. How did you find yourself working on your first project?
Well, I moved to LA to go to fashion school. I didn't know anybody. This was like early 2000s. I remember I'd gotten my first phone and I was still like printing out the MapQuest directions to like get to school. Like, okay, I'm gonna get an apartment on Wilshire. You go straight down and take a right on Grand to get to school. And so it was an exploration in a young person moving to a new city and trying something new from a small town. And when I had decided that I wanted to get into costume design, I knew some people that weren't in the design end of things. And so this was also kind of in the age of like Backstage West. And I
Right.
remember on my, just looking to find opportunity. Because for me, the most important thing was I just wanted to be somewhere on set helping, interning, being in a costume house. And so I found this opportunity where a director was doing a film at Fox Studios. Actually, it was the first job I ever did, a black and white picture called Delusion. And he had his mom doing the costumes. It was 50s. It was all tuxedos and beautiful women's 50s dresses. And so I went in there and they were just like, okay, racks of dresses, kind of figured out. And so that, after having those several days, it was a short film, and being on the Fox lot and kind of watching all this, I just fell in love. And I had made just a commitment to myself that it didn't matter what it took, that I was going to find my way. And starting kind of in the design element of things, I had learned very quickly that I wanted to know what it was like to start from the bottom. And I don't believe in any department that there's really a bottom. We really are a team. Every person is just as important as the designer, in my opinion, because you need every person there. But so my journey has been a lot about learning, like you had said, a lot about learning every single person's position on set in a costume department, what it takes to do that. And that to me felt like the most important thing. And now, many years later, it is something that has helped me to instruct my team as best as possible, knowing exactly what it takes to really make it work successfully.
Let me follow up with that. I too began my career as a PA in the art department, and I worked on a horror film, and I learned more in that time about how the business works, especially about being on set. How, I mean, I try to stress to people when I talk to other people getting into the business, I try and stress to them how important that is, how important it is to find yourself as part of a team and working your way up. I mean, everyone's like, well, Rob, I want to be a producer. I'm like, you would be very ineffective as a producer right away. It's best. I mean, my whole philosophy was like, I'm going to get coffee for people for 3 years and that'll be fine. But in terms of your career and what you learned and how you progressed through it, would you say that you think it's vitally important for people to sort of, like you said, start. It's not starting at the bottom, but it's starting as a member of a team where you work your way up. I would say that's vital. Is that something you would agree with?
Absolutely. I think that in my experience, I started doing a lot of set costuming. And every time I am on a project, I know what those set costumers are going through. I mean, it is, you're on the front lines. It's like we're bringing all the work and we're bringing it to the trailer, but it's like as a set person, you are on the front lines. And I know what it's like to work those hours. And I think it to me, it's extremely important in helping to be compassionate for what it is that they go through. And oftentimes, shoppers and I mean, every part of it, everything that helps create the engine to move forward, people find themselves in their own challenges and time constraints and struggles. So it has really helped me. And also too, working on some bigger projects like Spider-Man, where I was assistant designer, that those experiences that I have and working on Westworld as an assistant designer too, working under some of these incredible costume designers, they're some of my favorite experiences. And oftentimes I want to go back and I would love to have more opportunities working on some of these bigger films with big designers because you just learn so much from other people and it just becomes this invaluable tool that you can take with you.
Well, it's interesting you bring up Spider-Man because over the last beginning in 2000 with Bryan Singer's X-Men, superhero films and costume design have become at the forefront of the industry. And what's interesting to me is how superhero costume design specifically has evolved and changed into what it is today. And you've worked in both. Television, you've worked on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and things like Stargirl, so you've worked with Marvel and DC, and then you've worked on the biggest of the big theatrical features like Spider-Man No Way Home. So, what is it like for you as a designer when you come on to this? There's so many different iterations in the movies and in the comics themselves and in video games of these costumes. What's it like when you come on board one of these projects and the superhero costume is sort of front and center? And then, of course, you have to design everything else around it, even the civilian clothes. The SHIELD agents have to look cool. The villains have to look great. So you're able to do a lot of different things, but how do you begin the process of working on a superhero project for yourself?
I mean, I think one of my favorite superhero projects that I did was Supergirl. And what was so incredible about that project is I was able to redesign Alex's costume from scratch. And even though that was a television show and I came on the third season, I believe it was, it's like anything else. You kind of, the wheels, you get the script. And you just take it kind of beat by beat, and you allow yourself. I mean, with Supergirl, it was an incredible opportunity because obviously her outfit had already been designed, and we had were kind of in the process of creating some doubles and all of that. But I think it's like anything else. I mean, it's like any project that you do. It starts with the script and then you slowly work your way through it and see what needs to get done and what sort of opportunities you have to create new things that people haven't seen before. And what's the best part of doing the superhero build projects is being able to start out with a costume illustrator. So you start in that realm where you're starting the creative process, and especially a show like, for example, Supergirl, where so much of what we had to do was made, that's really the first part of it is breaking down the script and then going to your costume illustrator and saying, okay, this is what we've got. Where are we starting here?
Now, with Supergirl, it's pretty interesting because that was an evolution within the show. You actually got lucky where you get to redesign the principal character's costume and in terms of evolution really evolve that costume from what it had been. And I'm curious, Did you go back to the comics, and was there reference material that you got from the producers, or because I have to say kudos to you guys, because that was a very cool redesign of that character's costume. What was the process for you to sort of do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always what's so great about working in that field as well, is being able to have the comics as a reference and as a jumping off point, and also just understanding in the series who she was and who she had become. So to be able to take some of the elements from the past and then combine them with something in the future, and of course, you know, to be able to do any sort of female kind of badassery. You know, and she is such as an aside, is such an incredible human being. But to be able to come up with something like that, that is completely transformed into this beautiful shape, was such an honor. And I think for me, so much of the creative process is, it's an energy. I always like to talk about like how we're working. It's never just like A to B. It's like you kind of you're in the flow of this engine of art and creativity and beauty that you're creating, and then it kind of just takes you and it evolves. So it, you know, from one day to the next, or one sketch to the next, and then what does it really become when the outfit is actually created and standing in front of you? And then what does it become when it's on the actress or actor? And then, you know, how does it work with it? You know, so all the elements, and it becomes a journey, and it's such a wonderful journey to kind of allow yourself to just flow in that.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty cool, because a lot of the time, you know, with these costumes, they've already really been pre-designed by the visual, like at Marvel, they've got the whole visual design department, and they know what they're going to look like, and then you have to figure out, well, how are we going to build this, and out of what materials, and how are they going to look good on camera? But you got to go in and redesign. They didn't need to do that redesign, but they did do that redesign on Supergirl. I thought it was a great. You guys did a great job with that, and that was something not all costume designers, even on the biggest movies, get to do. So
Yeah,
that.
and one thing I wanted to mention that you touched on was the opportunity. So much of what we do, once it comes from sketch or even before it gets to sketch, like on Stargirl, I was the key costumer working with LJ Shannon in the superhero design element of it. And so a lot of what we focused on was R&D, coming up with. So you see the photo, but then how does the actual printing of the fabric and finding the certain fabrics, and how does the fabric move? And you know, first and foremost, is it good for stunts? And to me, that's what drew me for such a long time to the art of making superhero films and working in that world, because of the R&D element of it. And there are some things you're coming up with, like LJ Shannon is, and she's so incredible. Some of the things that come out of her brain and the ways that which she can pull from things that she's done and then try out new things. Working in a team like that is one of the most fulfilling things, because you're really designing on the spot and finding new ways of doing things that have never been done before.
Absolutely. Well, and in terms of scale, I mean, when you go from a TV show, episodic television is one thing, but then when you find yourself on the set of a massive franchise movie, whether it's Mission Impossible 3 or Spider-Man No Way Home, is there a difference in your approach to the work, or is it essentially the same?
That's such a beautiful question to ask. And I look at I when I ask, sorry. I'm working on a project now that is on a smaller scale, but it doesn't change anything about the job. It doesn't change how much energy I put into it. It doesn't change how important it is. It doesn't change how important it feels to me. And so, in my opinion, the answer is no, it doesn't, because it all feels important and it all feels like an opportunity to really succeed and to be able to bring the absolute best that is possibly available.
Now, how do you interact with, obviously, when you're dealing with directors of photography and production designers, color and making sure everything, the actors and the costumes interact with the lighting schemes and the actual sets themselves? what is your interaction like with those other departments? Do you consult with the director of photography early on? Do you wait to hear from them about the palette of the film? And the same question for the production designer as well.
What's amazing about the project that I'm doing right now is we've had a lot of kind of pre-production before we got here to Cleveland. And so all of us have worked very, very closely together. And what's been very helpful too is we've had a lot of the locations. And so because it is a bit of a smaller team, next week we will all go scouting and we are able to keep that network extremely tight. Mm. So we're all on the same page with exactly what it is that we're doing, what the sets are going to look like, what the lighting is going to look like. And in my experience, the best thing is to be able to have all those conversations and have all those elements and then follow it up with the camera test and try to, you know, do it that way just to make sure that everything visually is seen through everyone's same eyes.
When you were working on, I mean, I have to ask from a geeky perspective, No Way Home was one of the great magic tricks I think a studio ever pulled off as far as not allowing the audience to know what was really going on. And the fact that Tobey Maguire was brought back and that Andrew Garfield was brought back, and at first nobody knew that they were bringing back previous villains like Jamie Foxx and Willem Dafoe. What was that like working on that film? And then you had other designs to draw from. I mean, each of the Spider-Men had their own designs from their movies. The villains, actually, you got to develop new looks. Electro had a more classical comic look than he did in the original in Spider-Man 2 that he first appeared in. What was it like working on that film in particular? Was it crazy or was it just another day at the office?
You know, that film was done and I was hired to do kind of more on the superhero end of things. So we did that during COVID. That was all kind of happening during the COVID of it all. But I remember reading the script when Sonya Hayes hired me, and I was like, it was incredible to know, to be able to help and to be able to help to bring back such an incredible piece of history within the franchise,
right,
and all of the people that were going to be in the show. And so really just an incredible opportunity to be able to see all of that through. And at the end of the day, I mean,
it was so funny because from our perspective, being a film pundit, and were these characters actually in this movie? What were they doing? It was a lot of fun to cover. They did a very good job playing with everybody out in the real world about what this movie was actually about. Cut to it makes $2 billion at the box office. So you guys did a great job on that film, and kudos to everybody that worked on it. But now I want to talk about, you know, From Scratch, which is, if, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's a Netflix series. And it stars Zoe Saldana, and I don't want to, it's a romance, a tragic romance, but it's also about family. It's an incredibly beautiful show, and it wasn't normally something I watched it with my girlfriend. She got me into it, and I loved it. And like I was saying earlier, I think that just the feel of the whole show and the design work you did on the costumes, it was really terrific work. And I don't think I've seen a show that I wanted to just get on a plane right away and jet off to Italy and eat and feel that breeze and go to Tuscany and wherever, you know, go to Sicily. Where did the inspiration come from? And you really got to, there was a lot of different things going on as far as the clothing in that film. How did you begin that process?
I was lucky enough to be guided by some of the most incredible people that I have ever worked with, Tembi and Attica Locke and Nzinga Stewart. And From Scratch is a story based on Tembi's life experience. So doing a project where I had somebody that actually lived this helped so much in being able to bounce ideas off of, and also Zoe Saldana is, as an actress and as a creative and as an artist, she truly embodied who this character was. So reading the script and of course starting with her time, Amy's time in Italy, it was very easy to be able to just color so much of what Amy's story would be like throughout the project. And this project had such an incredible love behind it. Everybody that was there, every single actor and actress that was on camera, I mean, everybody came with their hearts so full to be able to do this project. And I feel like when you step onto a set with people like that, and even when it starts in the fitting room, it kind of has this magic, this cinematic magic that is carried through the entire process. And each episode was very packed. There were a lot of story days that needed to be covered. And so it was a really big body of work. So we had a lot to do. And of course, we blocked shop between what was being filmed in Los Angeles and then what we filmed in Sicily and Florence. And so I guess that the only way that I can describe it is that this film possessed some sort of beautiful, incredible magic that I do believe the people that watched it were able to feel. Because it's not just about the tragicness of losing a loved one, but the idea that this love exists and that beauty exists and that people can love each other through time and religion and where people come from and all of these things that to me felt like the best takeaway.
The wedding dress that you had, was that the Tembi's dress? Was that where did the dress come from?
So Tembi had a dress in her original wedding from Am Saleh, was the designer. And when we did the project, Tembi had gotten in touch with them, and through several conversations with, and they're an absolutely wonderful company and have beautiful, beautiful things, they had decided that they would go back into their stock from that year, the early 2000s, and pull the pattern and make the dress.
Wow.
Make the dress for us. So they took Zoe's measurements and the dress arrived and we put it on her. And it was one of those moments as a costume designer that just, it's like why you do it all. It was so incredibly beautiful just to see it on her and to know that this was actually the dress that Tembi had worn. And you can see it. I mean, that's one of my favorite episodes is episode 3 in the wedding, and the way that it's shot is just so beautiful to be able to show off the incredible design work. And the dress itself is just absolutely stunning. It's timeless. It's beautiful. It's elegant. It reminds me of something that Audrey Hepburn would have worn. It's so beautiful.
No,
I'm glad that they were that for us.
It breathtaking, and it looked like everything else. It looked incredible, and of course Zoe Saldana is such a beautiful woman. And it was interesting. It was nice to see her no longer as a CGI Na'vi, 10 feet tall, or Gamora Green in the Marvel Universe. It was nice to see her come back. Seeing her in her. She's just so naturally beautiful, and I was watching the show going, wow, I'm so used to seeing her as an alien, or she was on the bridge of the Enterprise, and it's so nice to see her wandering around in Italy. It was fantastic. And she looked radiant in that dress. It was spectacular. Now, were there other creative challenges in the series for you, or was it pretty straightforward?
I mean, I think we're always dealing with challenges in one way or another, whether it's time or all of the things that we struggle with. But I think anything that did come up was easily resolved because I had such an incredible supportive team that had my back. And then of course the producers and directors and all of the people that were involved. Everybody was just, it was just such a tight-knit team that we were able to resolve anything so fast. And of course, I mean, the creative process, especially when you're doing a project like this and you see it in front of you, there's what you read on the page and then you see the actor in it and you see them, you know, in your fitting, and it's like, okay, is it exactly what you had imagined? And basically everything we were able to work through, and it was really incredible. And, you know, a lot of the things we were able to shop and create and build in Los Angeles, but there was a big chunk of our Italian portion of the film that we were able to source and design and craft there, which made it so beneficial to be able to really tell the stories of these widows and just get things local. Sure. That's exactly what they have worn.
Well, when you actually went on location, you know, you're outside, there's a lot of people on those streets, and we're meeting a lot of people and the townspeople. Were those a lot of locals, or was there a lot of, do they bring in extras, or how does that work, and is it different from shooting over here, and did you have to clothe a lot of the background?
We definitely dressed a lot of people. There were a lot of local people, but we definitely dressed a lot of people. And I was so pleasantly surprised by the crews, the talent, the actors and actresses that came aboard. It was such a pleasant surprise. You know, I guess in my mind, you think like Hollywood is, it's where it's all happening in LA, but it's like the truth of the matter is internationally, there are so many talented men and women that work behind the camera and in front of the camera. And it was really such a delight because the project just continued to flow, especially with all these, this new energy and these new people that we had brought on. And so that just kind of fit like a puzzle piece into the rest of it.
Yeah. I mean, it was very authentic, and it was a joy to watch that show, as sad as it was. Sad as it did. It was, I mean, I know that's, it was about grief, but man, I can't stress enough for you people out there watching this. It's a beautiful show. And even if you don't think it's your cup of tea and you want to watch some more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., watch this show, because you'll definitely get something out of it. Well, let me ask you this. Of course, on the show, a lot of people watch and they want to know, like, okay, they want to get into what you're doing. And now there's more outlets than there's ever been. People can post their designs on Instagram. They can do all kinds of things to get their work out there. How would you tell the generation of budding young designers out there how they should sort of start their own journeys? What should they do?
When I went to FITM, this was right before they had a costume design project. This was before they had a costume design program. And I think that I will never regret having gone to school and learning some of the basic things. And when I say basic, I am not the person cutting patterns and sewing, but to have a real working knowledge of fabrics and how clothing is put together and how things are constructed, in my opinion, is absolutely invaluable. So any sort of training, and especially like you said, I mean, when it comes to the world of art and art history and all of those things, I mean, all of that can only ever help you. And while I didn't grow up as like a film buff, and even to this day, I'm not really like a huge film person, you know, I consider myself an artist because my art is drawn from many different things. So I think this being a costume designer and being in the field of costume design, anything you can do to learn in this realm. And also so much of what we do is based on real people's lives. And if we're lucky, we are doing a project where we're having the opportunity to be able to learn from the past. So I think having an opportunity to, as a young person, to just learn as much as you can about art, about fabric, about design, I think those are the things that are the most helpful for me in my career as I go.
Well, when you know, I'm curious also about the creative journey that you go through on a project. And so maybe people can get an idea of something like when you're working on it from scratch. Is there Is there a journey that you're taking, like when you're designing Zoe Saldana's costumes for that? Is that process something that you have to learn academically, or do you learn something like that on the job?
I think that for me personally, I have learned how to tailor my experience of how I start each job as I've gone along. And so when you start each job, you get the script and you build for every interview, you kind of build a presentation. And so for me, that is instrumental in helping what I continue to do. For example, like what I'm doing on this job. So I created these incredible boards and really was able to meditate on the script and the characters. And so I'm using that as a tool when I'm going out into the world and sourcing and finding and being able to curate what is needed. And so I don't think that is necessarily something that comes from an academic backdrop. That's not how it came for me, but I do believe that learning, and especially nowadays, because there's so much technology that can help you.
Right.
And so getting to know all of these computer programs and drawing programs and keynotes and all of these things, I think it's really helpful. So for the young people, you know, maybe there are better ways or more interesting ways that people can do presentations. I mean, and that's what's so cool about this industry. It allows you to just kind of be your own being. You can figure out how to tailor it to yourself when it comes to each project. And I have so many beautiful costume design colleagues, and we're all so different and we approach projects so differently. So I invite people to, I don't think there's just one way.
No, I don't either. And there's never been a better time. Like you said, that the tools, the technology that exists has, I mean, I wish we had it 30 years ago. It's just astonishing on every level what you can do. But I think the more prep work you do on these projects, the more, like you said, you can prepare bigger mood boards now. Hell, you can use AI now and throw out ideas and see what AI throws back at you, and have there suddenly you have a mood board. I mean, it's amazing the tech that we've got now, but it doesn't replace the creative impulse and the way to take all of that technology and utilize it. It's just one more tool to get your creativity from your mind's eye onto somebody like Zoe Saldana to walk down a street in Sicily. So, I mean, it's a great time. I think for anybody wanting to come into this business, are you optimistic? Would you say that there's never been a better time to jump into the entertainment business and become a costume designer?
Absolutely. I am so incredibly grateful for my career, for the fact that I have been in this industry and I'm in a union and kind of all the things that protect me with that. And I have enjoyed all of the elements of it. And also, the world is getting smaller. There's production happening all around the world.
Yeah.
As you know, I recently relocated to Paris, France, because I believe that the world is getting smaller and we can connect all over the globe. So not only is it for the people living in New York and LA, but there's people all over the world that can have the opportunity to be able to jump into this line of work. And I will say, I mean, the best way that I have found for me to move forward is to learn from others, you know, and figure out what your rhythm is and what your personal language of design is and how you want to see it, because it really can be a personal journey into your own artistic sense.
Absolutely. And you never know what city. I mean, even in Paris, production is, there's all kinds of different shows being made. Then we're going to see them here in the States, because they'll wind up on Netflix or a streaming service. There's no longer those international barriers that we used to have. I mean, 10 years ago, it was really hard to see a show that was produced for Paris television anywhere here in the US, but now it's not. The world is out there for everybody, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. Everyone's dreams are valid, and everybody has the opportunity to follow those dreams.
Well, listen, what do you have? First of all, are you on social media? Can people follow you on Instagram?
Yes, Amanda Lynn, LYNN dot RILEY at Instagram.
So wait, but you go as Amanda Riley, your credit is Amanda Riley, but you're Amanda Lynn on Instagram? I just want to make sure. Oh, wait,
Amanda.Riley.
Oh, okay.
At Amanda. Sorry. I still live a little more in the analog world, so I'm happy with that. We're using paper and pencil. Yes.
Well, that's good. Now, I know you can't quite talk about what you're working on now, but is there anything that's coming up for you? Did you finish something? What do you have coming up either soon or in 2023 that you can say what it is, or can you not?
I have an amazing movie that I did called Breakwater. That is starring Dermot Mulroney, Darren Mann, and Alyssa Goss. And that's an incredible thriller that I did in North Carolina. And that's going to be coming up anytime very soon. That's a feature that I did. And yes, the project that I'm coming on now, I can't really talk about what it is, but I can assure you that you will love it. And it's something full of heart and spirit and soul and a happy ending, because I think we can all use something uplifting.
Absolutely. Well, Amanda Riley, it has been so good to speak with you today on the Designing Hollywood podcast. I want to thank you so much for your time and to be here on the podcast.
Thank you so incredibly much for the opportunity, really, from my heart. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, good luck. Break a leg. And I can't wait to see what you create next, especially if they involve wedding dresses.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that was great. Thank you so much for doing this. This was fantastic.
We're not filming anymore?
No, we're good. We're good.
Okay. The only thing that I want to say is the Spider-Man element of it, because I was the assistant designer, I liked all the stuff. There was just like a little piece kind of at the end where I was just like, didn't elaborate too much about like the project.
Sure.
I can tell you, between you and I, like, it was a bit of a nightmare for me towards the end. Sorry. But,
no.
You know, I mean, the thing is, people suck. But anyway.
I can only imagine. I mean, it was such a crazy, because for what we do here on this channel, it's the speculation of is this really happening? It was a lot of fun from our perspective, watching everybody lie about it. And it was great.
For sure, but a lot of it was like, so much of it was CGI, and it's just like, I don't know,
yeah.
You look behind the curtain and you're like, you people suck. Sorry.
No, it's okay, I understand. I mean, but
the Doctor Strange costume was amazing. We had to recreate that from scratch, and that was one of the coolest things I've ever done.
Yeah, well, and that costume is great too.
The people that made it, and yeah, it's insane.
And it is fabric, and the way it hangs on him is terrific.
So. It's like doing a period piece. I mean, that's what I love so much about that project, because it's like the Doctor Strange costume is, it's period. It's all wool. It's all, you know, everything is done. They did it by artisans by hand. I mean, we had a nightmare of a time trying to find people that could even stitch the embroidery, because LA just doesn't have it, you know?
Right, right. Are you aware of, there's a high-end toy company out of Hong Kong called Hot Toys? And they make 12-inch figures of all the Marvel characters.
Really?
Yeah, and they're like $300 each. But
they have Lady Hydra.
If they have which one?
Lady Hydra was one of the characters that I created.
Yeah, they haven't done Lady Hydra yet, but they are doing the Doctor Strange from No Way Home is coming out, and the figures are really, really great. And it's funny because a lot of the costume designers, some of them know about these toys and they're like, I didn't get paid for that, you know, but they're very cool. Very cool. Well, listen, I don't want to take up more of your time, but I want to thank you so much for the time you did give us. This was fantastic. It was so great to speak with you.
You're an awesome human being. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it. You really are you do good at what you do. And I don't feel like I'm a natural at this at all. And this was like super fun and very pleasant. And
you were great.
I want to thank you.
No, this is
allowing me to feel comfortable.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm happy you did. No, this is your great interview. And
thank you.
So thank you so much for that. And I guess break a leg on what you're working on now.
Yay!
All right. I will let you go.
All right. Take care.
Adios. And a special thanks to our sponsor, Paris Costumes. Paris Costumes has been a part of the history of the European theater, film, and television industry since 1856 and has become 21st century tailors. A special thank you to founder and executive producer, Martika Ibarra, co-founder, costume designer, the legendary Marilyn Vance, and of course, John Campia from The John Campia Show. Our technical director is Taylor Gonzalez. Thank you to all of our viewers for tuning in, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Tune in to the audio version wherever you listen to podcasts. I am, of course, your host, Robert Meyer Burnett, and you can find me on Instagram at rmburnett, or find me on Twitter at burnettrm, or on YouTube at postgeeksingularity. Thanks very much. Like, subscribe, and give us your comments. What would you like to see on the channel? Right down below. Thanks very much for watching, and we'll see you on the next episode of Designing Hollywood.